Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, visit our Facebook page for Today's Issues. We live video stream the show there and post the articles that we talk about so you can have access to them. Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News and One News Now, is in with me. Fred, plug onenewsnow.com.
OneNewsNow.com. You know, the day and age in which we live, you need a trusted news source from a Christian perspective, and that's what we're all about. We have a great team of reporters who go out there and see the news of the day and say, you know, what are the Christian experts saying about all of this? And you can go there. Also, of course, the way we built the site, you get the very latest news coming out of Washington, out of Jerusalem, and other places around the world. And, you know, it's the one-stop shopping area for news that you need every day.
OneNewsNow.com. Now, will you send, you guys, if you sign up, you can get a news brief once a day, right?
That's right. One a day. We don't pester you. We'll send you one email a day with the top stories, the top videos of the day, all of those sorts of things, and a question with a poll that you get to respond to.
Okay. OneNewsNow.com. If you're looking for a place to get your news that's going to include the Christian news and a conservative perspective on the news.
And usually a pretty good editorial cartoon.
Yeah, pretty good pretty good cartoons as well. Well, Steve Jordahl works for that team there with Fred at OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
What do you got, Steve?
Well, top of the page right now at OneNewsNow.com, I want to bring your attention. We've got an article that comes from a Pew study on the state of America since President Obama's been in office. And I specifically took a look at the state of religion in America and the rise of the nuns. And I'm not talking about the Catholic sisters. I'm talking about those that have no faith. And so that's there. And also one of our editors asked me to make sure that people knew also about a column by a man named Peter Heck, who writes about the one act that defined President Obama. And it was his battle with Little Sisters of the Poor. And
what was that battle about?
That battle was over the Obamacare mandate that everybody had to provide what they call women's health, which is really services like abortions, like health services that go against their belief.
President Obama wanted to force the Little Sisters of the Poor, which was a Catholic charity in New York, I think. He wanted to force them to provide abortion for their organization, I guess, right?
That's right.
That's how little he cares for religious freedom. Talking about President Obama, he wanted to force the Catholic nuns to have abortion provided part of their health care.
You just couldn't find worse optics than the big, huge federal government against the Little Sisters of the Poor. There used to be a running joke around my family the bad football teams in the NFL couldn't hardly play against the Little Sisters of the Poor. But
right. President Obama can.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that's at onenewsnow.com right now.
Now, what about, I wouldn't hold President Obama responsible for the increase in faithlessness. Would you?
Well, we don't necessarily blame President Obama for everything that happens in the world, but.
Although you're accused of that.
Sometimes. It just does so happen that during his last 8 years, the percentage of people who claim no religion has grown increasingly. It's been on a steep rise. At the same time, the attendance at churches of mainline denominations has fallen, and the attendance in churches that follow a more evangelical and orthodox view has at least maintained and maybe even grown a little bit.
Well, Fred, I think what Steve's talking about there, churches that are going to grow, and this is generally speaking, there are things that might happen that would be against this trend. Mm-hmm. But I think the idea is that churches that actually have a belief system that they're solid about,
yes,
that subscribe to the Bible, have a biblical mm-hmm. worldview,
mm-hmm.
Unambiguous about, standing for the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount and the authority of the Bible and the inerrancy of the Scripture, those kinds of things, those churches are going to hold their own, if not grow.
Oh, absolutely. And people like Alex McFarland from our own network here, exploring the Word in the afternoons, and also people like Dr. Richard Land and others who are featured here at American Family Radio will tell you is that what they're looking at is those churches that hold to God's Word and the authority of Scripture are doing well, because a lot of these young people coming up are looking for authenticity. They're looking for scriptural authenticity. What has happened in many of these churches, mainline and otherwise, is that they brought in consultants, and the consultants told them, you have to look, you have to sound more like the culture. You have to start talking like the culture, and you have to drop some of this stuff. You know, stop preaching about abortion. Stop preaching about homosexuality, because that's offending some people. Those churches are dying. Because here's what happened in Europe, Tim. This is what happened to Christianity in Europe. They watered down their doctrine so much, people start saying, well, why bother going to church? There's no point in this. Mm-hmm. And so those churches have died in Europe, and that's what's happened in the United States.
People are also finding, Fred, that there's a lot of crises that they face in life that a watered-down gospel is not adequate to address. Mm-hmm. And with young people particularly, many of them are from families of divorce. And the Bible speaks very credibly on what marriage should be. And a lot of these people are opening up their minds to maybe God has some, maybe the designer of marriage had the right idea in the beginning. Mm-hmm. The problem of pain, the problem of evil in the world, there's just no other worldview that addresses it adequately other than a biblical one.
If you have a church, be it an individual church or a denomination, that does not believe in anything, really, then that church will eventually die.
Yeah.
The commitment level of, oh, grandma saying she's always been there, grandma's going to pass away one day, and if there's not the grandson to take their place in that church, then that church is going to die. And if that church is one that doesn't believe anything, really, as again, really, they may say they do, but you know what I'm talking about, where anything goes, all roads lead to God. They don't cite Scripture for much. These kinds of churches, these kinds of denominations are going to die. And this is what I've never understood, quite frankly, from a practical standpoint about your mainline Protestant denominations in America. And they're called mainline Protestant denominations in America because they once dominated the American, with the exception of the Catholic Church. Obviously, they're called Protestants. They dominated the American religious scene. I'm talking about like your Methodist and your Presbyterians and your Episcopalians and Lutherans.
Evangelical Lutheran, yeah.
There are different branches of those, but I'm talking about the main line, old line, Presbyterian USA, the Episcopal Church, the Lutheran,
Evangelical Lutheran,
the United Methodist, for example. Those denominations were once thriving, and they were growing, and because they were advancing the gospel of Jesus, and they believed in the Scripture, and they taught the authority of the Bible. Well, I don't know what happened. We can do a look at this later. Alex McFarland would know this, but something happens in the 60s, 70s, where the liberal believe nothing universalist type people got in control of the seminaries of those denominations I just mentioned, and began to subvert the gospel. And we see the consequences of that as those denominations I just mentioned, while once thriving, are now going down the tubes in terms of their influence and in terms of their numbers. Because as you said, Fred, once you don't believe in anything anymore, people are going to go golf on Sunday morning. Are they going to go fishing? Are they going to sleep in? or they're going to go to the football game. So go ahead, Steve.
What was happening in the 50s, like you were talking about, Tim, is that all of American culture, we all agreed, I wasn't there, but all those of you who were there in the 50s, the culture, the church and the culture were fairly much in agreement about a lot of things moral. Mm-hmm. And when the culture started taking a left turn and coming up with postmodern ideas, the church had a decision to make. The mainline denominations had a decision to make. Are we going to stick with something that is countercultural and a little bit counterintuitive if you want to say you want to grow your church, or are we going to go with the culture? They went with the culture, and the result has been, well, predictable. A great book, if I might recommend it on this whole topic, is by Ross Douthat. I got to figure out how to pronounce his name. It's spelled Douthot, I think. And it's called Bad Religion. And it talks about this trend of the church coming, being evangelical and holding out for the gospel and then falling away and coming back and falling away. And he has some solutions for it, and he has some descriptions of it. They're very good.
You know, it's amazing. You read the Old Testament and the history of Israel has a rebel. And I just got finished reading through Ezekiel, and, you know, God was very clear with them. You guys adopted the religion, the culture of all those nations around you who were against me. You started doing the same thing they were doing. You start talking the same way they did. You start treating your marriages. You start treating your kids the same way these evil people do. And God said, I have to judge you for that. And he did. And I think God is judging these mainline churches now because first it was, well, we're going to question creation. We're going to question the virgin birth. We're going to question, we're going to question the idea that Jesus is the only way of salvation. That's just too exclusionary. We can't have that in our culture. And so they adopted all of these cultural norms, and people started saying what they adopted was the social gospel.
Exactly.
And then even with that, people started saying, well, I don't need to go to church to go out and help somebody build a house or fix their fence. I don't need to go to church to do that. Mm-hmm. So these churches lost their exclusivity for living, for breathing, for being in existence. Mm-hmm. And these kids said no to it.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Steve Jordahl and Fred Jackson. American Family Radio is what you're listening to. Steve, what's the next story?
There was an interesting conference over the weekend in Paris, and it kind of grew out of this vote that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks in the UN that the United States facilitated, which criticized Israel for building their settlements in disputed territory, what they call disputed territory. And this was a Middle East peace conference. They issued a joint declaration. It was a bunch of countries, including John Kerry was there, ostensibly to protect the interests of Israel. Hmm. What I find really interesting, Tim, is the document that they produced. And it looks like a fairly down-the-middle document. It does call for a two-state solution, which is arguably not going to happen, or maybe some people don't think it's the best way to go. They do use some language like occupation that we wouldn't use, but generally there's not a whole lot of stuff in this document that we would say, oh, that's terrible. What they do, though, and this is what happens a lot of times when you get these conferences, they refer back to other conferences and other documents. This one says, we want to underscore the importance of the Arab Peace Initiative of 2002 as a comprehensive framework for the resolution of the Arab-Israeli conflict. I decided I wanted to find out what that said, so I did. So in order for peace in Israel now, according to the United Nations and all these countries, they demand a full Israeli withdrawal from all territories occupied since 1967, including the Golan Heights, and as well as the remaining occupied Lebanese territories in the south of Lebanon. All of the barriers between them and their mortal enemies that want to see them wiped off the map are going to go away. And you have to dig a little deep sometimes, but right now there is a lot of anti-Semitism going on and in high levels of government.
Mm. What do you think about that, Fred?
Well, yeah, what they want back is, for instance, the Golan Heights. If you've been to Israel in recent years and you've been up the Golan Heights, I was there in 2002, And, you know, you get up there in the Golan Heights and you say, well, I understand why Israel wants to maintain control of this, because if Syria gets control of that, they can throw bombs down there in that around the Sea of Galilee area.
The high ground.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing, too, and I you know, Prime Minister Netanyahu has addressed this. We're talking about lands that the Jewish people have been given by God. And so it is theirs. It was given by God to them thousands of years ago. The Jewish people have always lived there. I mean, one of the most outrageous demands of the other side is that Jerusalem, the eastern part of Jerusalem, be the capital of Palestinian state. Jerusalem belongs to the Jewish people. It has been in their hands. It was only, you know, when God sent judgment, it went to the Babylonians for a while, but after 70 years of captivity, the governments, the Persian governments sent the captives back and they rebuilt Jerusalem. Jerusalem belongs to the Jewish people. And that's where we are with the current political debate. Donald Trump, during the election campaign, said he will move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. We understand that there has been a team from the Trump team that has gone to Israel already looking for property to put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. I think Donald Trump is going to have his feet held to the fire on this one, because that was an issue for evangelicals. That's why they voted for him.
Absolutely.
He was clear on
one
that.
One of the reasons.
One of the reasons. He was clear on that he's going to do this. And I think people are going to hold him accountable for that.
Absolutely.
Well, we will see. You know, without, again, the attention to Israel is every move, and criticizing it. You got to remember, and I know those most people know this, that Israel stands alone in a sea of theocracies ruled by Muslims in the Middle East, if you look around them. And plus, you've got all these countries that are Muslim. You have one Jewish state that is Israel. Of course, at the UN, they're going to vote 99-1 every time against Israel. That's why so many of the votes are completely illegitimate, because it's just a matter of animus towards Israel, right or wrong. And with all the problems in the world, my word, China, are we going to see a vote against China and the UN because they're building islands in the South Pacific to basically take over that part of the world? I'm talking about physically building islands in the middle of the ocean. We've seen, if you go and read about that, you know, you got human rights violations from Cuba to Saudi Arabia to African countries to, you know, all over the place. Are we seeing UN resolutions about that? No, we're seeing the UN resolution about Israel building settlements on land that they own.
Yeah.
And you could argue that's disputed land. Well, no, it's not when you take over in a war.
Okay. To the victors.
Israel was provoked in a war in 1967.
Attacked.
And they took over some land, and basically they've given some of the land back, actually.
Big chunks.
Gaza and some other parts of the West Bank, which basically they let the Arabs rule themselves. But if you were to go back to pre-1967 lines, and that's where you want to start, and the Palestinians/Arabs get all that land, with Hamas being in charge, and Hamas sworn to wipe out Israel. That's the terrorist organization basically that runs things on the Palestinian side. Not all Palestinians subscribe to them, but they basically are a terrorist organization. And Hezbollah in the north. Basically, you're saying it's the end of Israel as we know it, because the too small a landmass, and they would be subject to attacks from the Golan Heights and others. So anyway, I would just a lot of this is just spiritual.
Yes.
There's no other explanation for this. It's like I've mentioned before. Why would Iran be obsessed with wiping Israel off the face of the earth if it wasn't spiritual? Iran is 1,000 miles from Israel. There's not a border dispute. There's not a historic ethnic war between the Jews and the Persians, really. So you go, why in the world is Iran so obsessed with wiping a country that's not even bothering them off the face of the earth? Well, it's because it's in the Bible. That's because it's spiritual. Mm-hmm. They hate the Jews because
they
Satan,
hate God.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it doesn't make any sense otherwise. So we see that we see many things happening in the world where you would go, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense except outside of the Bible.
Well, listen, the two-nation solution, as others have said, many others have said, is a ruse. It really is. Mm-hmm. What Israel has demanded from the Palestinians through the years is recognition of Israel, and they refuse to do
right.
that. They still teach hatred against the Jewish people in Palestinian schools in the West Bank, not just in Gaza, but in the West Bank. That's why the Palestinians, they launched, not just Hamas, but the Palestinian terrorists launched terrorist attacks against Israel. When a Palestinian terrorist boards a bus in Israel and blows himself up and kills 30 people, his family gets all kinds of money. They name streets after him on the West Bank. They are heroes. Now, these are the people that the world, the United Nations, is trying to yeah. force Israel to make peace with.
Right. And yeah. they've offered, Israel has offered many, many times to come to a negotiating table. And every time they do and they offer something significant, they're turned down because yeah. really the other side doesn't want peace.
Well, I see the situation in a lot of the Arabs there in Israel are treated far, have far better life
yeah.
than they would if they lived in other Muslim or Arab countries. I mean, so, you know, I'm not in Israel right or wrong all the time. Certainly, Israel is made up of human beings who can make mistakes. But the fact that the America would side with the enemies of Israel in this UN vote recently is just shameful and
shocking.
I don't think that President Obama would have initiated that against Israel had President Clinton won the White House. I think he would have left better up. What's the old expression? Left better, left better alone. What am I trying to say?
I think.
Come on, you guys are news guys.
Better left unsaid or better left undone.
Yeah, I think he would have left it undone. I think he would have not caused this provocation with Israel. I think he would have left it for her to deal with. But since Trump was coming in, this is my own view. I have nothing to prove it. I just think President Obama wants to make life as miserable for the new administration. That's why he kicked the Russian, emissaries out and why he's done some other things that he didn't do heretofore. You know, why all of a sudden you're a hawk now?
Yeah.
You know, a couple of weeks before you're out of office. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's at onenewsnow.com?
Right now, top of the page at onenewsnow.com is a story about religion, the face of religion changing over the last 8 years and the rise of those who have no faith. And our poll question, by the way, and we don't mean to throw you listeners and web visitors into a little bit of a quandary here, but we are asking, if you had to pick an area of improvement under President Obama, what might it be? We give you some
choices.
What
are your choices?
Well, I talked to Jody on the way over here, and he said he had five or six choices. He was thinking of adding a none of the above, but he said he probably wasn't going to.
Well, the popularity of the game of golf has risen, probably.
That's maybe one, yeah, one benefit.
Don't you think, maybe?
We're going to make you choose something, though.
All right, well, we'll suggest that, Tim.
Yeah. Okay, make it one of the choices there. All right, this is inauguration week, so we will draw closer to Friday's new president. We'll be calling him President Trump, not President-elect Trump.
Wow.
And we'll be calling him former President Obama, not President Obama. That's all going to change on Friday. We'll talk to you later, folks. Have a great day.